Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off the editorials today with a company update, really answering some of your questions that came in on the first interview when I was introducing Organto Foods, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OGO. Now, as I have been saying, I am continuing to look at other sectors and other sectors that are doing well and other junior companies that I think have some pretty interesting growth avenues here. I am chatting with the co-CEO and chairman, Steve Bromley. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, and I will be posting a link below this interview to the initial interview that gives a more comprehensive overview of the company, but Organto is in the organic fresh fruits and vegetables market, mostly focused in Europe and helping the whole supply chain, bringing the grower in touch and putting those products in front of consumers in a number of different ways. We had a couple questions asking about some of the growth opportunities, but Steve, before we get into the questions, just bring everybody up to speed. A quick overview on the company's strategy, please.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey. It's great to be back, and hello, everyone. So, you know, as Corey mentioned, we're in the fast-growing fresh organic fruit and vegetable categories. These are categories that are growing really rapidly as consumers focus on health and wellness. We have a scalable asset-light business model, so we don't grow our own product and we don't process our own product, but what we do is work with growers around the globe and leverage our certification expertise, our supply chain expertise, our market expertise, and our total supply chain expertise to bring products from around the globe to consumers. Today, we sell products in 13 countries in Europe to over 100 customers. And you know, we have a diverse portfolio of fresh fruits and organic fruits and vegetables. And we have two brands. Our number one brand is the I Am Organic brand. It is a brand that is being launched on a digital platform across Europe as we speak. It'll be in pilot and with retailers in both the Benelux and Germany by the end of the first half. Our second brand, which is a brand focused on specialty retailers in Europe, is the Fresh Organic Choice brand, and we're continuing to grow that. So we're focused on really fast-growing, healthy living markets. We have a really capital-efficient, asset-light business model that we're using. We have a great leadership team in place. We're building out some exciting brands, and that has resulted in record revenue growth for the organization. We exited 2020 with Q4 revenues of just under $5 million, left us with annualized 2020 revenues of 11.4 to 11.5 million. And most exciting, based on what we have in the pipeline, we're looking for revenues. We've guided to revenues of 35 to 37 million in 2021. So fast growing and very excited about what the future holds as consumers continue to focus on what they put in their mouth and healthy eating habits.
Okay, so this revenue growth, it was one thing that I got a couple questions on because we were talking about break-evens on the first interview, and you mentioned that anything over about $25 million in revenue, the company is then break-even and will get into cash flow. Just a quick little comment or question regarding what the margins are. I understand that you have three different revenue streams, the branded products, a bulk option, and private label, but broadly, what can you tell us about profit margins as it looks like you are forecasting here positive cash flow for next year?
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, Corey, we have three streams of revenue: distributed. You know, another way to think about distributed is bulk. So think about going to the grocery store and there are bulk organic avocados on the retailer's shelf. That is a bulk offering that we will provide. And that is the way most organic fruits and vegetables are marketed today. And so it's important that you be able to provide that. If we're providing that type of product, and so, you know, we'll have managed the entire supply chain, we'll have managed, you know, the grower, the supply chain, getting it to market, putting it into the package format that the retailer wants to receive it at its start level before they break it down further, our gross margins are in the 8 to 12% range. It's really important. That is the lowest margins that margin products that we will do, but you really need those in order to have the volumes that you require to be effective at private label and then into branded. So above and beyond the distributed or bulk product, we will do private label. So that's taking that same organic avocado and putting it into a format that the retailer wants to retail it in and putting the retailer's name on it. Our margins are anywhere from 12 to 17%. Average that out at about 15%. And then there's the branded product offerings, which is our I Am Organic brand or Fresh Organic Choice brand. And the margins here are over 20%. So clearly, you need to have the distributed bulk offering in order to be effective with private label and branded. But over time, of course, we want to really grow the branded and private label side of the business. And that is starting to grow now. And as I said, we'll with the I Am Organic brand, we'll be on market tests, market pilots before the end of the first half with two significant retailers in Europe. So we're pretty excited by that. So how does that translate into sort of overall profit margins, Corey, to the second part of your question? Yeah, as we have said, we're cash flow break even in the $25 million range. Now, that excludes any one-time costs for acquisitions that we may have completed or some of the brand developments that we're doing. But cash flow break even in the range of $25 million, excluding those costs. And as we take a look at the evolution of the company, when we're into that $50 million range, our EBITDA margins are moving into the 3.5% to 4.5% range. And then when you hit $100 million, you're in that 10% range. And that's being fairly conservative, Corey, with around the volume of branded and private label. In those estimates, branded and private label are in the 20% range of our total mix. Obviously, we want to grow it much more than that, but being conservative, that's what we have in those numbers thus far.
Okay, thank you for that breakdown. I appreciate that. I hope that did answer those questions. Now, the other questions that came in really dealt with growth avenues. And you and I talked a lot about the potential of growth. And I think we can see that obviously a branded or the branded products growing, those can also help. But the company has also been on an acquisition path. What are some of the avenues here where you see growth being, I guess, the most likely in the short term?
So, you know, look at, I like to break growth down between internal growth and then acquisition growth. So just a little bit on acquisition growth. You know, the market is really, really fragmented in Europe. We completed our first acquisition in January of this year, a company in branded fresh cut organic herbs. So we added 24 herbs to our product lineup, which was quite exciting. And we want to continue to grow through acquisitions. And, you know, we have six or seven discussions ongoing today. But aside from acquisitions, the growth that we have realized thus far and the growth that we'll continue to realize is internal growth. We used to call it organic growth, but then it gets mixed up because our products are organic. But, you know, how are we growing? It really all starts with supply and then developing new products. And in the same time, expanding the supply of existing products that we have. So adding new products to the portfolio are really, really important. So, you know, over the last 18 months, we've added asparagus, avocado, ginger, mango. You know, we've added those to our portfolio, and we'll continue to add more to the portfolio. And we normally start with supply from one or two markets. We test that supply into the consumer markets where we're going. And in testing, we're both, you know, analyzing demand and getting the supply chains nailed down. And once we have that nailed down and we know what we're doing, now we're into the market with the product. That can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. You know, we just last week, or pardon me, the week before announced that we'd added organic mango to our portfolio. And that was after us developing supply, testing the market, making sure that we had the supply chains operating effectively, making sure that we could get it to market effectively, and then opening it up. And so that's the model that we use. It takes 3 to 6 months to sort of start in on a product. And from there, you scale it as rapidly as you can add suppliers to the business. Supply is a lot more of a challenge, and I don't want to sound stupid about this, but it's probably easier to get sales than it is easier to get supply. And so, you know, our first focus is on supply. So, you know, our growth has been driven you know, to this point by internal growth. It's been developed by adding new products. After we've added products, we can add new geographies. And so we've expanded from a year ago at 6 countries in Europe to today being in 13 countries. All that is really happening after that is developing the supply chains, or as I like to call it, the last mile into those new geographies. So you start with the product, and then you move into new geographies, expanding with, you know, customers. And a lot of the customers that we're expanding with have operations in some of those countries that we're going into. So, you know, the first step isn't to go find a new customer. It's just to serve existing customers that we have today. And then on top of that, there are new categories. So, you know, today we're not in food service. And I guess we're lucky that we weren't in food service through the COVID-19 pandemic. But again, it's just understanding that we have the supply, introducing it to the customers, making sure we have the packaging format for them. So our goals, Corey, are clear. We want to grow through acquisition, but we're not going to bank on acquisitions. We're going to grow internally, and it's through products, geographies, new categories. And then on top of all of that, of course, we're really excited about what we can do with the brand. And so, you know, with the brand, we're going to expand into what I call not new products, but new product segments. So think about fresh cut. Think about processed. You know, there's a lot that we can do. So today, you know, we go with organic branded mango. Well, how about branded fresh cut? How about, you know, other further process? So there's a lot of growth opportunity there as well, all under this big umbrella of healthy living and healthy eating.
So in terms of some of these other opportunities, like some of the processed food, doesn't that slightly go against the company's asset light model, because you would need some more, I guess, infrastructure around to create those type of products?
No, you know, we're already in the planning phase, and we're working with third parties who, that's their business and that's what they do.
Okay. And then when it comes to overall products, is there a certain limit that the company could get to? How scalable is it when you consider all the different products that are available in the organic fruits and vegetables, as well as understanding that, as you said, you need to secure supply before you can confidently make a move into those sectors?
Yeah. So, Corey, about 2 years ago, we had 3 products, organic green beans, snow peas, and sugar snaps. Today we have 14 products. And frankly, we, you know, our stated strategic goal is to build out a one-stop shop. So, you know, when a retailer is thinking about organics, we want to be the people they phone, organic fruit and vegetables, pardon me. We want to be the people that they phone. So we want to have a broad supply. You know, I don't know where the limit is. What is important for us is that we add the skills and the capabilities to manage the supply chains. On the customer side, it's not such a big deal, because if you're going there with mangoes and limes, there's no reason why avocados and organic asparagus can't go as well. But what's really critical is that we effectively manage the supply chains and make sure that the movement of the product, well, the development of the product from the grower through the supply chain to the end consumer is effective. You know, we've been adding 4, 5, 6 a year, and we'll continue to do that. And we're getting better at it. So I don't think there's any question that, you know, we'll have well over 40, closer to 50 product segments over time as we grow. You know, today in fresh organic herbs, we have 24 different herbs that we're dealing with. So, you know, we're pretty good at dealing with those supply chains. And so, we'll continue to add them on and build out the most diverse basket of products available to retailers in Europe.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I really appreciate you taking time and addressing these questions. If any of you have any follow-up questions regarding anything going on at Organto, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll have Steve back on to address those questions and also follow up on any news that comes out of the company, especially in an acquisition front. Now, Steve, great chatting with you. Thank you again for taking some time, and I'm sure we'll be chatting in another few weeks.
Great, Corey. Thanks. And thanks to everyone. It's great chatting.